Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. Welcome to the 48th episode of the podcast. We are glad that you have joined 48 episodes. Can you believe this? And that's with a couple of stops and starts, but we are thankful to be back with you this week. On this week's program, it is just me, a solo episode, glad to be with you. But we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Leah and I have done a book review before, but I've never just done one by myself. If you know me at all, you know that I like reading. I read quite a bit, not as much as a lot of you, but I try to read quite a number of books each year. And of course, quite a bit of that reading has to do with marriage and family issues and trying to improve myself and my family, but also hopefully having some things to pass along to others. And on this week's episode, I want to take just a few minutes to review a book with you. It's a book that Leah and I actually read together a couple of years ago and that we were greatly encouraged by. But I am excited about sharing some thoughts about this book with you. And the name of the book is This Momentary Marriage. This Momentary Marriage. The subtitle is A Parable of Permanence. The author of the book is John Piper, and we are excited about sharing some thoughts about this book with you. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you at the beginning, just like any other book outside of Scripture, of course, you're not going to agree with everything found in this book. Dr. Piper is a good Bible scholar, but I don't agree with everything he teaches or everything he says. But when I came across this book, I was very excited because I didn't know he had written a book specifically about marriage. I had listened to some of his sermons online and read a book or two of his and several articles by him, but I did not know he had ever written a book on this particular subject. And so I was excited about coming across it. And at that time, Leah and I were trying to read a chapter a week or so of a book together. And I thought this would be interesting because it's simply a biblical look at marriage. And Piper takes exactly that view. It's basically a series of sermons that have been rewritten, reformatted, and put into book form for people to read. It's not a very long book. It's one that you can read quite easily in, a week or so if you just wanted to sit down and read a few minutes each night. I'm trying to make sure the number of pages. It's less than 200, including the index. It's only about 190 pages, but again, that's including the index. But what Piper does, and I don't want to give away a ton about this book because I'd like for you to get a copy of it and read it for yourself, whether you agree with everything or not. But what Piper shares in this book are a couple of very, very important things. One is he takes a very strong look at Ephesians chapter 5, the chapter that deals with husbands and wives, and makes sure that we see that the home, that marriage, is truly a parable of that picture of Christ and the church. And that is so very much missed in our world. I think a lot of people can quote those verses, and we know what it says about husbands and wives, but we miss the part where Paul said that I'm speaking about Christ and the church, that marriage is to be a picture of that. And one of the pictures that Piper uses in this book that Leah and I have been very touched by, and we have also tried to share with others in marriage seminars and other works such as that, is that Piper says that what Christian marriage should be is taking the vertical love or the vertical light of God that He shines upon His people and bending it outward to the world. Now, that you may have thought of that before or something similar to that before, but that is one of the best ways of wording it that I have ever seen, that we are taking the vertical love or the vertical light that God shines upon His people and bending it outward to the world. That's what Christian marriage is supposed to be. I love that picture, and he comes to that picture several times in the course of the book. The book, by the way, tries to cover a very broad swath, we might say, of biblical subjects. He even talks about dating. He talks about the sexual relationship. He talks about husbands and wives, of course, each specific role in that. There's a couple of chapters, I should say, for the husband, as well as a couple for the wife. Interestingly, there's also a chapter, or two, I should say, on singleness. And you may think, well, why are there chapters on singleness in a book about marriage? Well, one of the reasons that Piper shares, as he begins his first chapter on singleness, he says that he wanted to include a chapter on singleness so that we do not make an idol out of marriage. And I think that's a fantastic point. Is marriage important? Yes, the Bible speaks about it from virtually beginning to end. In fact, heaven is even pictured as the marriage supper of the Lamb. So marriage is so very important. But human marriage is also not to be put in the place of God. And I love my marriage. I love my wife. She loves me. But our marriage, nor each other, is God. And if we're not careful, we can spend so much time talking about marriage that we forget to, number one, think of people who are single, but also we can make marriage itself an idol, or marriage a god, if you want to word it that way. But he does give some very practical suggestions for those who are single as well. But that's really his baseline for writing a couple of chapters on singleness and using singleness as a virtue and as a way to show the love of God toward others. One of the controversial parts of this book that you may agree with the overall picture, but you may disagree with some of the wording of how Piper presents it. In chapters 12 and 13, both chapters begin with this part of the title, Marriage is Meant for Making Children. And then he goes into basically, should Christians not only just have children, but should they continue to have children? In other words, is it okay to have 3, 4, 5, 6 children and so forth? Some people will agree, some will disagree, but Piper makes a very strong case for the fact that the Christian should have children, should not just delay that just to be delaying it, but to be very intentional about enjoying those children as well. You know, Psalm 127 reminds us that the man is blessed who has a quiver full of children, as Solomon wrote in that particular psalm, Psalm 147. In my opinion, the best chapter in the book is chapter 13. It's a long title, but here is the full chapter title. Marriage is Meant for Making Children, Disciples of Jesus, The Conquest of Anger in Father and Child. You know the passages. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Some translations use the phrase, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the foundational point for that particular chapter, the 13th chapter of this book. And Piper, I believe, does a great job of teaching us what it really means to provoke our children to wrath or exasperate our children. What does that actually mean? And how does that play out in a general way? If you're familiar with Piper's work, one of the criticisms I've heard given to him before, just in a general way, not just about his doctrine or other things, but just in a general way, is that sometimes he is quote-unquote too biblical. Now, obviously, one cannot be too biblical, but the accusation is basically made that he spends so much time expounding the text and digging into the text that sometimes his lessons or writings are not as practical as they could be. You will not find that to be the case with this book. It is deeply biblical. Again, I don't agree with everything he says in this book, but it is deeply biblical and deeply well laid out, but it is also highly practical. It is a step on your toes kind of book as well, in that Piper is not afraid to say exactly what he means and to share what one would need to hear about a particular subject. One of the major disagreements I have with Piper in this book is found in the last full chapter. There's a conclusion as well as some other matters at the end. But the last chapter, 15, what God has joined together, let not man separate, the gospel and the divorced. Now, that's a biblical subject, and divorce is a very biblical subject. It's something that is allowed by Matthew 19:9 and other passages. There is the exception clause, as we often call it. But Piper takes a very strong view of divorce, and the fact that one obviously can be forgiven of divorce, but I'm just going to let you read what he says. I want you to get the book and wrestle with what he says as far as his view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I don't agree with it fully, but it is thought-provoking, I will say that, in that he's going to present his argument in such a way that you don't have to agree with it to be challenged by it. But I want to give that word of warning. So, Adam recommended a book that teaches something false about marriage, divorce, remarriage. I'm not endorsing everything found in this momentary marriage, but I wanted to make sure that was pointed out. The key to this book, in my opinion, is to read it with an open mind, but I think it is very important to read it with your spouse, or if you're not married yet, with a future spouse, one you're engaged to. You might want to save the chapters about the sexual relationship until after you're married, but it is a very, very powerful book. And I love that Piper takes a view, a very high view of Scripture, and combines that with this relationship that is so very important in our world. I also want to share with you a couple of just very practical observations that I have taken away. I mentioned the bending the light of God outward. That's the most practical as far as I'm concerned. Chapter 3 is extremely practical in that it speaks to the fact that marriage is a covenant. Over the years, of course, many people have called marriage a contract or simply relationship, and those are not bad terms. But I have tried, especially since reading this particular book, when I speak of marriage, to speak of it as a covenant, because God is a covenant-keeping God. In fact, the chapter title for chapter 3 that is found is God's Showcase of Covenant-Keeping Grace. I love that chapter. Grace has to be shown in marriage. My wife will tell you I'm not perfect, for certain. There are many times she has to shower me with grace because I make plenty of mistakes, but there's still a covenant. We are still going to stay together. We are going to love one another and honor one another and do all the other things we have vowed to do in our marriage because we made the promise, but even far more than that, because our God is a covenant-keeping God. And that is the key to all that we do in marriage. A covenant-keeping is God's showcase of covenant-keeping grace. If Christians are not keeping their covenant in marriage, then why would the world have a high view of a God who is a covenant-keeping God? That's a very powerful thought, and one that needs to be continually placed before not just people outside of the church, but people inside the church, that we are that showcase, to use Piper's word again. That is one extremely powerful takeaway, practical takeaway, that I gain from this book. One other takeaway that I will share, and I'll be very genteel in how I talk about this, is in chapter 11, Faith and Sex in Marriage. Piper takes a very high view of that relationship. Hebrews chapter 13, of course, speaks about the marriage being the bed being undefiled, marriage being honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 13. But sometimes we treat that particular relationship as if it's just a simple part of marriage or just something, if I may be so bold, say just something fun to do. Piper takes a very high view of it and reminds us that that particular relationship is a picture of the closeness of God and His people. It is as glorious and as strong of a picture as could possibly be. And so when we treat that relationship properly, we are taking a high view not just of marriage, but in reality a high view of God, because He has placed that relationship as a way to bring husband and wife as close together as possible to His glory and to make sure the marriage remains pure and right. So I wanted to come on this week and just have a shorter program, just share with you some thoughts about a book that that I read with Leah. Leah and I read together a couple of years ago, but I continue to come back to from time to time. Sometimes I just find myself pulling it off the shelf and flipping through it just a little bit, just to be reminded of a couple of pictures and a couple of passages, and I thought it might challenge you as well in your reading. Again, the name of the book is This Momentary Marriage, A Parable of Permanence, and the author is John Piper. If you are struggling to remember that and would like to get a copy of the book and remember what it is, what exactly the title is, you can find a link to that in our show notes for this episode. Those can be found at fawnfamily.com/pod48, P-O-D-48, fawnfamily.com/pod48. We'll have a link to This Momentary Marriage in the show notes there, and we hope that you'll pick up a copy. You won't agree with everything, but you'll be challenged in your thinking, I guarantee. You'll have a high view of marriage, a high view of Scripture, and a godly view of this wonderful relationship that He has blessed us with in this life. I hope this has encouraged you this week on the program. Next week, we'll be back with you for another episode of A Legacy of Faith, a little bit more full-length episode, and hope that is encouraging to you as well. Thank you for listening this week, and remember, until next week, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.